Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You guys remember that old commercial, that old seatbelt commercial he used to play all the time? What's holding you back? Remember that? Because maybe it didn't run out there where you guys live, but it ran here in Ohio. I'm trying to force you to buckle up. That's another whole story. Why do I have to buckle up? I mean, I should. But why do I have to buckle up? Why is it a? Why does the government think they have the right to fine me? Write me a ticket if I don't buckle up. Somebody explain that to me. You don't have to explain it to me. What's holding you back? I guess maybe that if there's a theme of this show, maybe that's what it's going to be today. Because I told Michelle as I was getting ready to come down after a wonderful weekend in Chad's, and I'm going to talk about that in a second here. That's the question of the year. That's the question of the day, really. Question of the day, question of the year, question of the show. What's holding you back? I'm just going to let that ruminate there a minute. What's holding you back? We had a wonderful weekend. I told you about a month ago that I was never going to fly again. I think I'm more convinced now I'm never going to fly again. I didn't have any troubles. I made the decision before I got on the plane that it was important enough for me to get to Florida or get to Texas and get back, then I wasn't going to go to war over masks. I wasn't going to do it. Folks, I got to tell you something. There's something strongly, my cough's gone. Got a cough drop. And there's something demonically powerful about this mask thing. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I can't tell you how many times, four times on the way out, one flight, four times on the way out. The steward came to me. It was a man. I think it was a man. You know what I'm saying? Came to me and said, sir, pull it all the way up over your nose, please. Sir, would you please pull your mask all the way up over your nose, please? Four different times they said that to me. My head bobbing, you know. What's going on?
Sleep training. It's sleep training. That's all it is, Coach. And masks don't work. So why,
folks? There's something very, very sinister. I'm not going to spend all the time on the show on this. What we try to do here is we try to help you open your eyes and see what's going on. Something so sinister. We know, folks. We know the masks don't work, and the airlines is doubling down on the masks. Something really, really big there. Whether it be demonic, whether it be control, whatever it would be, something really, really big going on. And to think, we've become conditioned. We're now conditioned to where you don't see people's faces anymore. We're conditioned to it. We expect it. In fact, you notice when somebody doesn't have one on. Everybody has one on, and you notice somebody doesn't. It's crazy, isn't it? Go ahead, Vinny.
$1,500 if I walk outside without a mask today, Coach. Does that sound like it make any sense?
No. Well, how's
$1,500?
So I'm gonna double back around on that. We had a wonderful time at Chad's. Wonderful. I wish you folks four things. Just some points I want to make here. Number one, Chad is a trooper. Now I don't mean a police trooper. He was a trooper his whole life. The time and effort and energy that Chad Estes puts into his Texas Salt and Light Brigade is man, love the way you play, Chad. And we had about, I don't know, 30, 35. I'd never really got a firm count, you know. And I was amazed again that so many of them We're new. New people coming again. And I'm humbled because a lot of them come to see me. I wish I could tell you how uncomfortable that is for me. Because I think we're in the mess that we're in because I was doing some research on the internet today. The glorification of Christian leaders is just, it's almost, it's abominable. Abominable. The glorification of Christian leaders. We're all servants. We all play a role. We all have a different part that we play. And just because I get to be the coach or the Lord selected me to be the conductor of the band, the leader of the band, it doesn't make me any better than the guy who cleans out the pigs at Chad's pig stall. Yeah, he has one. Doesn't make me any different than that. And it grieves me. I don't know what to do about it. That we so exalt glamorous gifts. Does that make sense? See, I could be a guy who could design the most beautiful automobile ever. I could go back and find me a 19, I don't know about cars, so I'll say 57 Chevy. I could go pull the old 57 Chevy out of the junkyard, and I could take it up to Craig up at Wisconsin. He and I could sit down, and we would redo that 57 Chevy to that thing look brand new, and it ain't worth a hoot in hell if the engine doesn't run. And can I tell you the truth? When you see a car, you look at the car, the first thing you do is it's the outward appearance that attracts you. Say, man, that's a pretty car. But the prettiness doesn't drive the car. It's that old grease monkey who gets inside there and figure out how that engine works and makes that thing go forward and knows where the spark plugs are. I don't even know. They still have spark plugs in car. I don't even know if they do that anymore. They changed all that stuff to mechanic, or I'm sorry, electrical now, right? And we would not get where we are without those guys willing to get their elbows in there and get dirty. It's not by accident that Chad Estes has 35 people come to his house because he works the phones. He calls people. And one of the things that I tried to emphasize, what's holding you back? What's holding you back? That was one of the things I was thinking about on the plane all the way home. How quickly could 35 people become 3,500? How quickly could 3,500 become 35,000? How quickly could that happen? What's holding you back? Don't you understand the times in which we live and the urgency of where we are? What's holding you back? What's holding me back? I'm always overwhelmed by the reach of the show. And Larry, some of you guys out there, you've become internet heroes, or that's not the right word. They know who you are. They haven't met you. And I think we come in here and we're having touching lives the way we are just is, you know, there's a great, great hunger, folks. There's a great hunger, great hunger. People know something's wrong. They don't know what it is. What's holding you back? Helping to expand the kingdom. I was having a conversation with, I think it was Chad yesterday on the way to the airport. Maybe it wasn't. Yeah, it was. We live in such a time of uncertainty, don't we? And we still try to make plans, say, well, Chad, when are we going to plan that next one? Let's get us a big one. When are we going to do it? And they say, well, let's do it after the election. And the first thing you think is, well, is it going to be safe? Are we going to be able to travel? Are they going to lock us down again? Are they going to make us wear masks? What? I see right now that going to Hillary's, now they're trying to put, did anybody else see this? A 14-day quarantine if you go to New York. Anybody see that but me? 14-day quarantine. Now, that would be okay, except that ain't, I almost said something not nice. That's not legal. Hey, folks, that ain't legal. They can't restrict my travel for what might happen to me. Huh? Why is it when you go into the McDonald's or Wendy's, you go in there and there's a sign that says what? Go in the bathroom. Employees must wash hands before returning to work. You see that? Why? Why do they have to wash their hands before returning to work? Because there's a possibility that they may carry what's on their hands into the food, right? Now, this was before COVID. This was before COVID. Employees must wash hands before returning to work, right? What other stuff are we being exposed to every stinking day? I'm sitting on that plane, and I'm looking at the armrests and the seat and the magazines in front of me and the flip-down table. And when every place you touch, somebody's already touched. This is a conditioning freaking game. But it isn't a game. And the longer we remain silent, the less opportunity we're going to have to move. I don't want to continue. Just God bless all the new people I met. God bless Albert and his wife for coming all the way from, my goodness, drove 8 hours from Roswell, New Mexico. You believe that? People drove from, golly. Amazing. Pam and her crew, God bless you, Pam. Folks that listen every day and are awake and don't know where to plug in and what to do. And we look at the condition of our churches and what's going on and what are we supposed to do. And Chad brings in this Diggle report that said there's only going to be 25 to 250 million people in America in 2025. I mean, wow, we're sitting right there on the cusp. And I don't want it to be fear porn. I'm not trying to scare anybody. We are in really, really unbelievable times. So thanks to Chad and to Michelle, his wife, and their hosting of that event. And, oh, my goodness. David Hawkins and Cynthia Hawkins and Karen. Saw Karen. And folks, we need to do more of it. We need to more assembling of ourselves together. I tip my hat to Bobby Lee, who's always working his. Bobby didn't come to Texas. He was there last month. Always doing everything he can to try to double down, wake people up, and get them moving in the right direction. So let me stop right there a second. Let me ask you this. What's holding you back? I'm going to wait. Amos, good to see you there, Amos. Amos is with us this morning. Amos all the way from Arkansas. It took some courage for Amos and his wife. They'd never been to this thing. They show up Sunday morning from Arkansas. I think it's Arkansas, isn't it? Yeah, it's Arkansas. What's holding you back? Why are we still, some of us, still where we were 3 years ago? What's holding us back? I'm asking, I'm opening it up. Somebody tell me, come on in here. What's holding us back?
Fear.
Fear of what, Denny?
It's a multi-pronged attack. There's an emotional fear, there's financial fear, there's physical fear, there's mental fear, psychological fear. Name it.
Well, I think, too, the part of it is I think people feel like they don't know what they need to do. They see the things, they don't know how to get started, whatever, those kind of things. And so the whole thing looks to be a little intimidating. It's not, but it looks like it is.
Right. Come on, somebody else. What's holding you back, man? I had a conversation with one person, and I'm not going to say who it was because I don't. Listen, I don't try to ever share anything publicly that I held in conference. Okay, if you say something to me, it for the most part stays with me unless I have your liberty to be able to share. But I was having a conversation with a person yesterday, and having a hard time going all in. Admitted it. I want to be all in. I want to be all in. I'm having a hard time. What's holding you back? What is it? What's holding? Guys, folks, do you think you're going to extend your life any more than the Lord has granted to you? You're going to squeeze a couple more years out of it, a couple more months out of your life? Is that what you're thinking you're going to do? Is it the fear of public shame? Is it the fear of the FBI coming to your house? Is it the fear of this? Is it? What is it? What's holding us back? Because I think Vinny really hit on it. I think it comes down to fear, and I think it comes down to lack of confidence. Now, the Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is that true or not? Was Jesus lying about that? And then he takes a simple thing to confound the wise. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. What's holding you back? What's holding us back?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah. Hey, Larry.
I think one thing, you know, that verse you just said, I can do all things in Christ or through Christ. And the through and in Christ part is, you know, I can do all things in Christ. And they just skim over the end part or the through part. And when once we start and begin to understand that it is Christ and his authority that he placed in us that enables us to do anything, much less all things, until we start concentrating on that Christ part, we're just whistling Dixie.
Amen. Well, I've been struggling to try to say this in the proper way. I'm struggling with going to Hillary's, not with going to Hillary's. I'm struggling with, is Hillary's where we should go? Should we go to Bill Barr's place? where should we be going, right? And so yesterday, this weekend, I got an amen. The Lord always does this to me. Always does this to me. One of the people who showed up at the event handed me a check. And said, this is for the trip to Hillary's. Lord, I hate it when the Lord does that, because now I can't wiggle out of it, see? Now I can't wiggle out of it. The Lord will provide all of it. Oh, Coach, you're worried about money here. Go. See, provision is for the vision. Understand, pro means for. Vision means to see. By the way, vision is not simply seeing. Vision is seeing beyond what you see. Does that make sense? Vision is seeing beyond what you see. When I would walk into, when I was coaching football, and I would, still to this day, when I meet a young kid or when I bump it, I always physically size them up. I always do. And I say, wow, man, there's an outside linebacker. Whoa, there's an offensive tackle. Man, that guy'd be a great nose man. I'm always sizing them up and trying to see in my mind's eye, Lord, where would you plug this guy? If I was coaching, Lord, where would we plug this guy in? And I still try to do the same thing from a spiritual standpoint. I see giftings and skills in people they don't see in themselves, because we have been taught in church or wherever that gift isn't one of the spiritual gifts. Oh, I don't dance well, and I don't sing well, and I don't preach well, and I don't. So therefore, you go to church, and although the job of the church is to do what? What's the job of the church? Church is to train, equip, and mobilize. Who? The saints. For what? The work of the ministry. And here we are, I'm 68 years old, and some of you are close to my age. You still don't know what your gift is. You still aren't plugged in. You've been beat down, told you can't do this, you can't do that, and you don't look like this, you don't look like that, and you don't smell the right way, and you turn people off, and you're harsh, and all those kind of things. And so you take it through the filter of what everybody else thinks about your gift, and you never I was getting ready to paint the. We want to come over and paint the tower. We want to come over and paint the cross. We want to paint that tower. And I think, man, there's a guy who has got his teeth around what he's got his teeth around his gift, doesn't he? He's got his teeth. And he said, I got a project I got to finish. I'm going to go finish. What's holding you back? I'm waiting. Because we got to deal with this, man. We should be so much farther than we are.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Vinny.
I am going to the post office today. I am going without a mask, so we'll see what happens.
All right. $1,000 fine or whatever it is, huh? Well, see, until we start pushing back, here I am, wore a mask on an airplane. Until we start pushing back, they're just going to keep doing it. It's a small part of what's going on. It's directed, my friends. Please understand, it's directed at Christians. The war is Satan's team against the Lord's team. I always keep coming back to that. That is the war. It's where the war is. The devil's team trying to make me shut my mouth. Somebody say amen. The devil's team amen. Trying to make me shut my mouth. I ain't never trying to shut amen. The devil's mouth. It's always the devil's team trying to shut our mouth, and we comply.
Amen.
What's holding you back?
Well, Dave.
Yep.
Also, I just want to say thanks for the gracious words, whatever. But, you know, look, everybody just trying to do their part. The thing is that we need to the main thing is I recommend that folks do is that we just have to take a stand. We just have to take a step out there. Just small steps. Small steps. And that gets you small steps in faith, small steps in courage. And these build on one another. Just get that. Don't try to go out there and catch a whale on a 10-pound trot line. You got to have the right materials to be able to catch these bigger fish. So, and it gives you more time so that you can keep working your way up, because there's going to be times. Look, do you think that you're going to need more courage and more faith later on, or less courage and less faith later
on? Boy, that's well said, Chad, because it's going to get tougher, isn't it? It's going to get tougher. But, Chad, what would you say to those folks that say, well, listen, you know, Chad's got that ranch out there, and he's got that couple acres, and he's just got a perfect setup. I don't have a setup like that. What would you say to that, Chad?
Well, there is no perfect setup. And look, the Lord will take care of his people. He will cloak you. We're not far out of the city limits and stuff. So, look, you're not going to go somewhere and be super isolated. And if you could, why would you want to? How are you being a witness if you're in total isolation? What are you doing to expand the kingdom? Nothing. I mean, Amos came and his wife, and they came and they meet. They have a group every weekend. Every weekend. So, I mean, like, I'm saying I need to step my game up. That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, more importantly, guys, where did Chad get that, all that stuff? He worked for it. It wasn't just dropped on him.
Well, amen. But you know what Chad does a good job of? He does a good job of helping others get involved. He includes others.
Well, Coach, let me jump in here after Chad. I don't have what Chad has either. I don't have an area right here in my backyard to do what I'm doing, but I've been using the things around me, scheduling things in opportunities in Kentucky as well as PA.
Amen. Amen.
And yeah, Bob, you can use the county parks, the city parks. What if somebody has a home they open up to you? You take advantage of those things, schedule your event, and let it roll out thereafter.
Hey, Mike, go to Webster's for me.
Hey, Coach.
So, yes, sir, Larry.
Yeah, while Mike's tell him what to go to Webster's for, so he can begin doing that.
Okay, assemble. Go ahead, Larry.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, on the aspect of the donation that you got for the trip to New York, some people are going to point at like Luke, I think chapter 9 or whatever it is, and say, well, you're not supposed to take anything with you when you go on your journeys. Jesus told them not to take anything with them except the pair of sandals they're wearing and stuff. But, you know, there's a big difference. You have to take the word of God in context. Back in those days, Jesus did not tell them to go somewhere that they couldn't walk to. You can't walk to New York. It's not practical. It's not practical for people to walk to New York and then all meet there at the same time and stuff. So the provision for getting to where you're going, Jesus did give them that. He told them to take the sandals they're wearing on their feet. That was a provision, right?
Yes, sir, Larry.
So what is given to you to help you accomplish the mission God's given you to do? You can't always take one scripture out of the Bible and find fault with what you're doing, because what you're doing lines up with what Jesus had his disciples do.
So Larry,
what they needed to get to where they went to, he made sure they had.
So the Lord just provided, if you want to go to Hillary's, but you don't have the provision, the Lord just provided it.
Well, Coach, if I may jump on.
Hang on, Dale. I was handed a check Friday. The Lord just provided a way for you to get there. So don't use that as an excuse anymore. We'll be able to pick it up for you if you can't make it. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, I want to piggyback off what Larry said, because as crazy it may sound, the dispensationalism of what Jesus did then in Luke 22, there was everything was about to change. Jesus is about to die, and the power of the resurrection was about to happen. And he no longer told them not to go out with the money bag. He told them, now go with the money bag, and if you don't have a sword, go buy one.
Amen. Amen. provision, right? Provision for the vision. You cast the vision. See, if folks, if you're counting the money before you do it, a lot of times it isn't there. Now, listen, I understand the parable. I think it's a parable, Larry, of the guy who said, Jesus said, don't start into an adventure and get halfway into it and realize it's more than you're willing to pay, right? He wasn't talking about just financial provision. He was talking about heart provision. Don't go into this thing. And then when all the crap starts to hit the fan, realize I wasn't really up to that one, right? He says, no man does that. He says, once you start that thing, you gotta finish it. And so the provision follows the vision, folks.
Amen, Coach. What is it? The parable of the two farmers both praying for rain. There was a drought. One went out and prepared his field. The other one didn't. Which one trusted God?
Amen. Amen. So when the Bible says, have faith in God, I think it is. For whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Right? So we live in a culture and a society and a world where we spend all of our time, listen to me, speaking to the mountain. It'd be like me going up to sky high and speaking to the grass. Grass mow. Grass mow. Don't work that way, folks. It don't work that way. I go up and I sit up top of sky high and I look down and I think, oh, God, I got to mow. I got to mow.
That's because we're too busy telling God about our mountains when we should be telling our mountains about our God.
Amen, Dale. You got that exactly right. Speak to that mountain. So in other words, when that mountain pops up in front of you, we're in the mess that we're in, where we know clearly now what's going on with Joe Biden, and I'm not going to get into that stuff. That guy should be nowhere near the presidency of the United States. And ain't nobody doing anything about it. And we're no better either, because we just sit back and we don't do anything about it either, right? We want to speak to that mountain. Well, sometimes, you know, to move that mountain, you got to go get a bulldozer. You got to go get a shovel. Sometimes you have to move that mountain. Sometimes the Lord will provide the bulldozer for you to move it. But, dude, you got to move it. You just can't speak to it. And we're doing a lot of speaking. I'm not trying to make anybody mad. I'm trying to encourage y'all. The Lord needs you, man. The Lord needs you. The Lord hath need of you at this time and this place. You. Me say, you mean? Yeah, you. You. This group of 43 people in the queue, it ought to be 430 next week. Now, I don't care if it's 430. I'm not about building big. That's not what I'm talking about. What are you doing to expand this truth of what's going on? We're living in a world that is groping like a blind man. Hey, folks, we have codified into law. The possible president of the United States, Joe Biden, said he wants 8-year-olds to be able to choose their gender. 8-year-olds. We have lost our minds.
Well, you're right.
8-year-olds. Can you believe that he would have the gall to proudly say that?
Well, he revealed his real nature, Coach. He revealed his real nature. He's a
parent. Well, we know his real nature, Vinny. The problem is, we don't care about his real nature. We don't care. I feel like I'm running around in circles here, and I don't mean to. Somebody, come on in here.
What we need to do, I mean, that we can do really pretty easily, is pray and cast our vote based on our answers from our prayers.
Amen. Okay,
we really seek God in this.
Amen.
And do it.
But Joe, not only that, Joe, we need to, hey, Joe, you need to recruit some other voters. You need to convert some other people, right? Folks, this ain't politics. If you think this is politics, if you think the battle that's raging before us is political, boy, are you in the dark?
It's good versus evil. That's pretty much it.
It's what it is. And we know that.
I'll jump in here one more time. I want to reinforce the reality that everything is psychological. now it's clear to me throughout history how Nazi Germany did what they did, and one trooper could control dozens, several dozens of people standing there with just the image of his uniform, and Mayans cutting hearts out of people and throwing bodies off of temples. So it's a psychological science that has brought us to this point, to where any of us can be the lone person without a mask, and we can have all of these people stumbling around us. But it's also the energy that we're putting off too. I mean, when I go into these places, be it Cabela's at Hamburg, when there's hundreds of people in there, and me might be among, I might see a couple of people, but we're putting off a certain energy. When we see those other people without the mask, we identify with each other, but we have an energy, and we're looking at these people in the face, and they look at us confused like.
Amen,
does
Bobby.
That makes sense.
Yes, yes, yes.
If you had a Trump mask on, would they make you take it off?
I don't know, Joseph. Assemble to collect a number of individuals or particulars into one place. Or body to bring or call together, to convene, to congregate. See, we get stuck on just as an aspect of assembling. As I said here a number of times, it's putting the body together. I watched Chad this weekend assemble a crew to put on a great training. It was great. It was just great. And we have so many gifts within the body that we're not taking advantage of. Hey, Chad, what's your name? Hey, Mike, go to Jeremiah 23. I was reading this on the plane yesterday. What's a prophet? Without going to the Bible, what's a prophet, do you think? What's a prophet? P-R-O-P-H-E-T, prophet. Maybe I'll look that up too, Mike, at Webster's. What's a prophet? Because a prophet is an office of the church, of the body, certainly. But that's not all it is. Webster says a prophet is one that foretells future events, a predictor, a foreteller. Hey, Larry, have you ever operated in the gift of the prophet? Tim Havens, you ever operated in the gift of the prophet? Have you ever had that gift fall upon you? You don't call yourself a prophet, but you go into a group of people and say, let me tell you something. If somebody doesn't do something about this, this is what's going to happen. Folks, that's what a prophet does. It's not a guy who just has dreams. I mean, that's part of it. But I'm not getting up today to see what somebody's dream was they had last night. Come on, man. Being a prophet is someone who speaks for God, an interpreter, one that explains or communicates sentiments, not necessarily a future teller, one who sees what's going on and say, hey, if we don't do something, folks, here's what's going to happen. Or how about this? The saddest words in the English language are, you ready? I saw that one coming. I saw that one coming. Meaning what? I had that prophetic. I saw it, but I didn't say anything about it because I'm not a prophet. That's not the gifting that I operate in the church. One who pretends to foretell, an imposter, a false prophet. We got a lot of those, don't we? So I came across this yesterday in 23. You want to get a sobering look at the Holy Spirit, the sobering look at God. Spend about 20 minutes in Jeremiah. You talk about fear porn. You talk about moving from doom to doom to doom. No wonder they called him the weeping prophet. Because he is constantly giving warning over and over and over. And he says in Jeremiah 23, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Now, I did a little bit of research this morning. I went online and I Googled the top 10 churches in America, in Ohio, top 10. And it listed them, told us how many people attended. And I started down, I started doing a little Google search down through of them. And I went through the top six and none of them are open. None of them are open. They're all doing virtual. So woe to the pastors that destroy and scatter the, see, our pastors, this sounds awful. Our pastors should be telling people to take masks off, not put the masks on. Thus, Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you scattered my flock. You've driven them away. And you've not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. Who's Jesus? Who's Jeremiah speaking to here? To our leadership. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Some of you who are, I love all of you, okay, so don't take this wrong. Some of you listening to me right now, you have a pastor's call on you. You have a gathering call on you. You say, Coach, I can't do that. I'm not trained well enough in the Bible. That's no problem. You gather them, and there'll be a teacher that'll pop up. You got to gather them. Somebody's got to be the shepherd and call them all in. And you get up every morning at 7 a.m., some of you at 5 a.m., and you watch this show. Well, dude, why is that happening? Why does the Lord wake you up every day to get in here? Because there's an unction inside you, see? The Lord said, I'll gather the remnant of my flock out of all the Larry, do you hear that? He's going to gather the remnant of all the flocks. Just get in Jeremiah. Spend the morning in Jeremiah. I'm going to gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries, whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds. And they shall be full and increase. And I will set up shepherds. Do you understand? He said, the shepherds have dropped the ball. They've dropped the ball. I'm going to set up shepherds. I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. They shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Is that a word for today or not? Behold, the day comes, says the Lord, that I'm going to raise unto David a righteous branch. And the king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And in his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. Therefore, before the days come, say the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children out of Israel and out of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up, and up a little bit higher for me, Mike. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel, the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country. See, you all have seed in you right now. From all countries, whether I've driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. You understand that Israel was driven out. They were scattered. Do you understand there's a scattering going on now? Do you understand that? Come on, tell me you see it. It's going on right now. Jeremiah says, my heart within me is broken because of the prophets. Why? Yeah, because of the prophets. He talked about the pastors, and then he goes to the prophets. And who are the prophets? Those who see and give clear warning. He says, my heart's broken because of the prophets. All of my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both the prophet and the priest are profane. In my house I found wickedness, says the Lord. Wherefore their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring upon evil upon them, even the year of the visitation, says the Lord. And I've seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied and Baal and caused my people in Israel to err. And I've seen also the prophets of Jerusalem. A horrible thing. They commit adultery. Maybe not physical adultery, but spiritual adultery. They commit spiritual adultery and they walk in lies. And they, look at this. They strengthen also the hand of evildoers. They strengthen the hand of evildoers. Massive churches closed. They strengthen the hand of the evildoers. None doth return from his wickedness. They all are of them unto Sodom and as the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Israel's profaneness gone forth into all the land. See, listen, friends, you can be both a pastor and a prophet. We all operate in different gifts at different times. And we have men who are operating as pastors who are also operating in the prophetic, and they're missing what's going on. They don't understand the times in which they live and understand what it is that Israel needs to do, and they are strengthening the hands of the evildoer. I could go on and on and on in this in Jeremiah. In fact, when you read Jeremiah, it goes from chapter to chapter to chapter to chapter on the same daggone thing, and that we have wandered away from truth. And so what are God's people supposed to do when we find ourselves in the midst of it? Amy Coney Barrett cannot be Supreme Court Justice because she's a believer. You see it? Because she's a believer, she's not qualified.
Okay.
Yeah, Craig. That's right.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Boy, this is one of those God drop moments. Go to Webster's and pull up the definition of sexual preference.
Oh, yeah. Wait till you see this.
Well, it's not in the old Webster's. We need a new Webster's?
No. It got redefined after Amy Coney used it.
Hang on, Craig. Not in the Webster's 1828 dictionary. I got you, man. I'm got you. Mike, just go to regular Webster's. Just go to Webster's dictionary. Just a regular one. Just one of those fake ones, right? Just one of those fake ones that we're using in the English language. Change the words, change the world. Okay, this one. Okay, let's try this one. Webster's dictionary. And put in sexual preference. You're right, Craig. It was changed right before our very eyes. Sexual preference. What's it say? Point it out, Craig.
Do you want me to read it, or you want to just wait till it comes up?
It's up right now.
You want to read it, or I'll read it?
Yeah, go ahead and read it. Go ahead and read it.
It says, the term sexual preference, as used to refer to sexual orientation, is widely considered offensive in its implied suggestion that a person can choose who they are sexually or romantically attracted to.
I just changed that didn't
definition. Me. It changed the day after they changed that. The day after that, Congresswoman from Hawaii told Amy Barrett that she was being sexually insensitive by using that term. That term was not that was not in that Webster's dictionary as a definition until after that was brought up by her. John Howler, who's in your neck of the woods.
Yep.
Brought that out. And before, I don't know where it is. I'll look for it if I find it. Right after that happened, there's a guy put together all these video clips of Joe Biden and all kinds of Democrats within the last 2 weeks to 2 months talking about your sexual preference and using the exact same terms as she did.
Amen. Amen. Mike, bring up Romans chapter 12. Good catch there, Craig. So they're constantly changing the words on us. We can't keep up with it. Anybody want to bang on?
I want to go back to the Jeremiah, brother, because that most Bible readers don't even understand the four major prophets all dealt with the time right before the captivity of Babylon, the time in captivity, and the time coming out of captivity. What Jeremiah went through, we want to bash Trump. But was it a godly king who delivered the Israelites from the Babylonian captivity? No, it was the Persians. But the Persian king had respect for the Israelites worshiping their God. And here we have Trump, not whether he is or isn't, he has the respect of the Christians being able to worship their God, and we are throwing him under the bus.
Yep, yep. Well, not only that, Dale, we're not rising up against this stuff. See, we're not right. Hey, folks, who's going to bring pressure to see justice is brought to Hillary? Who's going to do that? Silver, who's going to do that, you suppose? Chuck Schumer, is he going to do that? Clarence Thomas?
Here's a plumbing statement for you, Coach. We call it the swamp. Until you get the biggest turd out of the swamp, you're not going to be able to drain it. We're talking the big turds. We're talking Obama. We're talking Joe Biden. We're talking Hillary Clinton. As long as they remain in that swamp, they have got the drain clogged.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes you got to start the top. Go, Jack.
That's why when you first mentioned going to Hillary's, I questioned whether that was the place to go or not.
Right.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We got to go somewhere, right? We got to go somewhere.
100%.
Strategy. I would say this isn't going to happen, but I can tell you this. If 1,000 people showed up at Chappaqua and said they weren't leaving till something was done with her, you know what would happen? Something would be done with her, wouldn't it? Something would be done. But we don't do that. And, you know, we even mentioned doing that kind of thing, the Secret Service shows up. Right? So I feel like I'm all over the place this morning. Is it as bad as I'm feeling? Because in my mind, this is all connected. It's all connected. This whole idea of saying to the mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and others telling, hey, everybody can see what's going on. Everybody knows what's going on with Joe Biden. Everybody sees what's going on. Everybody sees what's going on with those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. They see it. They get it. And then goes back to a show we did a month or so ago, maybe longer than that, redress of grievances. Who do we turn to? Who do we turn to? Well, I tell you who Jeremiah would have turned to. He would have turned to the pastors and to the prophets. And he said, neither one of them worth a hoot in hell. That's what Jeremiah said. Not worth a hoot in hell. That's. I'm sorry this isn't real spiritual today. This is just right down where we live, isn't it? Right down where we live.
Hey, Coach, one last thing, and I'll get off here.
You can speak anytime you want, Bobby. It doesn't have to be the last thing.
I want to ask the question. How do tens of millions of people sit in front of MSNBC and The View all day long and then turn it over to TBN? I need somebody to help me explain that to me. How do you square that? Does that mean these tens of millions of people, usually the older age group doing that all day long, being mentally controlled with the nice bright blue colors on the screens, does that mean they're truly not a Christian? Does that mean it's been a show for X amount of decades? Help me. Help me understand.
Yes, it does mean that. I'd say it does mean that, right? And so gradually, or however it happened, we developed and had at one time a trust in our government until the government was seized by the dark side. Folks, righteous people are not in control of our government anymore. Righteous people aren't. And we're trying to live in a what's that called? A dual society. Ruled over by darkness and trying to live righteous and ruled over by darkness. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is the least you can do. And be not conformed to this world. That's what this whole thing is about. The conforming of the American mind, the Christian American mind, has been conformed to tolerate and accept everything. They can tell you masks don't work, and yet we put masks on. Why? Because we're being manipulated and controlled. They can tell you that Bruce Jenner is a woman and we don't speak up against it, even though we know that's not even, no way that Bruce Jenner is a woman. They tell us that a man can marry a man and there's no pushback at all from the righteous side of this whole thing, this whole battle. The children of God are helpless. We are helpless in this thing. Really, we are? No, we're not. But we've been, as I often say, we're so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. We're so spending so much time studying the end times, we're going to be out here, it's getting worse. So we're not, in a lot of ways, we're no different than those pastors and those prophets. We're just ignoring it. Say peace, peace, when there is no peace. There's no peace. There ain't any peace. Bobby, the sad thing is, we just don't realize it yet. There ain't any peace.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
If you are conformed to this world, verse 2, then you're not transformed by renewing your mind in the things of God. And you can't prove You can't prove what the will of God is, any part of his will. You can't. That is the prerequisition right there. That's what we've been talking about, Coach. You're right on it. If you are conformed to this world, guess what? You can't prove what God's will is because you don't have a clue.
Amen. Amen. And Randy, I'd like to, Mike, 2 Thessalonians, I'd like to throw this on top of it as well. It's by the renewing of our mind. The renewing. Renewing. Can somebody explain for me right now, what does it mean to renew? Hey, Tim Havens, what does it mean to renew your wedding vows? What does that mean? I'm going to renew my wedding vows. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, Tim. What does it mean to renew? What does that mean?
Hey, Coach, that RE thing means again.
Again.
But guess again. What? All these churches are having revivals, and they ain't never had a revival in the first place.
Right. Huh? A renewing of your mind. A renewing. How? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, right? What is transformed? What
is transformed?
What's that?
Because they weren't reformed.
No, and they're deformed because they've never been transformed because they conformed. You understand? We're conforming, folks. We just blindly conform. Truth doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter. And why doesn't it matter? Because those of us who are the purveyors and the supporters of truth won't support it. We just tolerate all these lies that are permeating society. Because why? Can I tell you? Make a connection? Because our pastors in our pulpits made the Lord sick. Made the Lord sick. As a result of it, Mike, 2 Thessalonians, did I say that, Mike? I think I did. And I think it's 2, maybe. 2 Thessalonians 2, I'm guessing, top of my head. I use the scripture a lot. I should have given you more. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. That'd be a good start right there, wouldn't it? Not going to church just for, I need to get fed. That you be not so soon shaken in the mind. Wow. Or be troubled. Neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, folks, 2,000 years ago, this is written. When they say that the day of the Lord is at hand, it means imminent, meaning available right now. A hammer's at hand. So I lost my connection. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And the man of sin. See, we focus, folks, on that man of sin being revealed when we miss the first part. There's a falling away. It's a falling away. Am I frozen up, Mike? Am I coming through?
Coach, you were frozen, but you're back now.
Yeah, somebody doesn't want me saying this. Who, huh? Falling away first. Why? Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God? See, the falling away. This is the falling away. We are being controlled and manipulated by this force called a man of sin, a man of perdition. Call whatever you want to. There's this falling away that's happening in the church. It's happening. We're falling away from what? We're falling away from the truth. And he says, remember I told you, I warned you about these things? For the mystery of iniquity, verse 7, doth already work. He says, it's already going on. It's been going on for 2,000 years. The deception, the falling away, it's been going on. This ain't nothing new. Only he who now letteth, Holy Spirit, some point is going to be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. See, that's, Okay, so here's what I'm trying to get. And with all, even him, verse 9, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all, see, don't focus on the, focus on the spirit of Antichrist, not the man Antichrist. Focus on the spirit behind the Antichrist. That's what we're talking about here, okay? Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because why? They received not the love of the truth. Why did they perish? Because they didn't receive the love of the truth. You fight what you love. You fight for what you love. You fight for what you love. We don't love the truth. Because we don't fight for what we have, God's going to send a strong delusion. Who is? God is. He's going to send a strong delusion. What's that delusion? They're going to believe stuff you can't believe they believe. In the church, Silver, we have people in the church believing homosexual marriage is okay. In the church, folks.
That's true.
Hey, Coach?
Yeah.
You talk about this falling away, you know, that's different than coming out from among.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And you can go to Hebrews chapter 6, verses, I think it's like 3 and 4, somewhere 3, 4, and 5 in there, and you find that those who fall away, who once were part of the church, who had five things happen to them that describes being a spirit-filled Christian, if those fall away, the Bible says it is impossible for them to come to repentance again. Mm. So, this falling away is, man, all those people that fall away, they are lost forever. It is impossible for them to come back into the fold.
So, folks, I'm less worried about the Antichrist than I am the spirit of Antichrist, because it's the spirit of Antichrist right now that is causing this strong delusion to fall across us. And why is this strong delusion falling across us? Because we have received not the love of the truth. Yes, come in. Jack, is it Jack?
Yes, to get to Larry's point, so those who believe that homosexuality is okay, you know, who are so-called Christians, homosexuality is okay, and those other positions, you know, the question is are they really saved to begin with, or are they just false converts?
Well, we've created a lot of false converts. It's hard for me to judge another man's salvation. I judge his fruit. I certainly can judge his fruit.
Hey, Coach.
Jeff.
Just to give you an update on all these things you've been talking about today, I'll run this real quick. Weekend, we just spent out in the woods for a weekend with all the young boys, 6, 8, 10, 12 years old, teaching them how to shoot guns. They're out shooting squirrels out of trees. We're shooting the long rifles. The Cox boy, one of him, he come down with his whips. All the kids were snapping a whip and learn how to crack a whip. We did devotions. Sunday morning, we go back into the church. Pastor Bill's, they were preaching on truth. And look what's sitting out front of the church, Ron Brock's truth truck. Alan drove the thing in. We have numbers are up higher yesterday than have been all year. People are coming. There's not a mask in the house all this year at all, none. We're laying on hands, anointing with oil, praying with each other at the altar. One guy showed up in the church yesterday, some old guy with a mask on. First mask we've seen all year. And I look at this guy thinking, will he be back or will he just take the mask off and stay? This week, we got David Arthur, Tuesday night church in the garage. Last time he's here 4 weeks ago, we had 42 people. And I was going to say, like you said about Chad, we need to start gathering our own 30 or 40 people. Sure. Thursday night, we got in the streets again. Friday and Saturday, a tent revival out in front of the car lot. And then Saturday afternoon, back up to the square, giving the Democrats some truth again. It'll be a busy week.
So, Jeff, I was thinking yesterday as I was on the plane. There are 175 of us on the plane out of from Austin to Dallas. 175 of us on that plane. And I'm sitting there. And you know what I wanted? You know, I contained myself so much. I wanted to jump up and say, what the hell's the matter with you people? What's wrong with you people?
Amen.
Right? Does anybody feel that way? The hell's wrong with you? Wake up! I didn't because I wanted to get home and see my wife. That's what I wanted to do. Listen, I've been all over the place today. I got an unction and an urging inside of me, letting you know, all of us know, we all can do more. We all can do more. And folks, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. And I don't want to stand at the end of my life and look back over my shoulder and say, daggone, I should have done something. I don't want that to be me. Let's not let that be us, huh? Thanks for putting up with me today. We'll see you tomorrow.